Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens, at the heart of Irish homes for over 40 years. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
So the Olympics are just around the corner, and of course most of us will tune in to watch events and cheer on our athletes. But for those who are competing in the pinnacle event in their career, the journey began a very long time ago, and it's not uncommon for coaches, for parents and athletes to believe that specialising in a sport at a really early age is that secret ingredient to becoming a world-class athlete, especially when you consider the success of people like Tiger Woods and Rafael Nadal, who excelled in their sports at a very early age. Well, that takes a lot of commitment from an entire family. So how do you balance it all? And what is the secret to raising an elite athlete? Well, joining me to discuss that is Norman Tuttle, who's father of Nicola, hammer thrower and Olympic hopeful. Annette Woolley is here with me in the studio, mother of Irish Taekwondo Olympian Jack Woolley, and Jim Kyo, father of Olympic rower Afric Kyo. And you're all very welcome. Great to have you with us here on the programme. Norman, I'm going to start with you. Nicola is your daughter. Will you tell me how it all started for Nicola? Because it's an unusual sport, hammer throwing, isn't it?
Yeah, it is unusual, and it was Nicola just started one day bending athletics club. We're having kind of an open day and you could do whatever you wanted, and she just went throwing the hammer and she liked it. And I'd say a couple of months later we're above it in neighbour's first communion, and that neighbour was throwing, he used to throw the hammer in Rockwell College long ago, and she saw the hammer hanging up in his garage and she asked him about it. And he said that he'll, look, he said he'd come down and train her if she wanted it. Mm-hmm. So they started off throwing a rubber ball with a bit of rope hanging off. That's what she started off, and it was nine years ago.
But then, that's fine to do that in the beginning, but then she had to start training properly. So someone had to drive her to where the nearest hammer cage was. And where was that?
Yeah, it was in Bendon, in the town park in Bendon. So her mum, Clip, used to take her in, pick him up after school and take her in, and they could spend 2 hours throwing, and her two siblings sitting in the car, and they used to be trying to do their lessons, and something would go wrong then with the hammer, gets caught in the cage or something, and you could lose another half hour. And you know, it took a lot of time. So at the start it wasn't too bad, only a couple of days a week, but as she got more into it, you know, when she was training 4 and 5 and 6 days a week, it just was taking fierce time. So
that's why you decided to build the hammer cage at home, was it?
Well, yeah, they started looking at, could we put in a bit of concrete that she could just do her turns, and so there was measurements came for over to Google, and we looked at it, and yeah, it was feasible enough, and we just in 2019 we put it together for.
And you used fishing nets for that as well, Norman, did you?
Yeah, we put down the concrete, and then we had to put a net around it because she's only a small sector to get the hammer out, and we put up our pipes, and Denny Regan, for the work with us, was from Skull, and he said he'd get us a fishing net, and he even got on to a Frankie Griffin who sewed the nets together and put the ropes to match the poles that we put up, and that's how the hammer cage was born. And you know, but she didn't look back since, because
these are all the things you don't see when you see someone competing at the Olympics. You don't see daddy sourcing the fishing nets, do you?
You don't see mammy spend all winter long pulling the hammers in across the field for her. And you know, her mum is like another pair of eyes as such, because it's a very technical sport, and you know, she's inside in the circle doing four rotations at maybe 50-60 kilometres an hour, mm-hmm, before she leaves the hammer go. So it's very hard to know what she's doing, what right and wrong. So mum is like a pair of eyes outside looking in the net, telling her that you did this or you did that wrong, and that's, you know, that's what she's basically her coach when she's here at home. Like, that is, it was a kind of a game changer then, that they could just walk out the back door and walk down to the circle and do their
absolutely
hour and a half
and do it there. Well, Norman, yeah, Stay with us, because I want to talk to Annette now, mother of Jack Woolley, he of the scorpion kick. We've all seen that, a great promo for the Olympics on RTE, which is well worth having a look at. Taekwondo is his sport, and you've spent years being a chauffeur, is that right?
I'm still doing it. Hasn't stopped. He's 25 years old, still can't drive.
So you take him everywhere he needs to go when he's here in Ireland?
Basically, that and the Lewis, thank God.
What's it like then? Because we were talking about this before with some of the coaches from the Irish Olympic team. Like, it's really important for the family to know how to talk about the Olympics, when to talk about the Olympics, when not to talk about the Olympics. What's that like in your house?
That's the big thing. Unless Jack brings the subject up, it's not mentioned. You know, it's kind of trying to take the pressure off, you know, not put on, so it's not in his head, mm-hmm, all the time. Like, he trains 6 times a week. He's out of the country for most of it. you know, when he's home, he just wants to be normal.
Yeah.
You know, watch a bit of RuPaul's Drag Race.
And listen, the years building up to this then, like, what were they like? How intense was it? Like, we heard there from Norman about building the hammer cage and going through all of that and the driving and the other children in the car doing their homework. When you're listening to that, you go, yeah, that was pretty much my life too.
Oh, hours and hours sitting outside, you know, training, competitions, because you couldn't really go home and come back. I think it's the same for most parents of elite athletes. You know, it's the chauffeur, especially when they're young. It's watching their diet, you know, making sure they're eating healthily. The funding is the big one, you know.
Cause the cost of it all.
Oh, it doesn't come cheap.
Yeah.
And if you don't have rich friends or sponsors or whatever, you know, it's literally constantly fundraising all the time or saving. Mm-hmm. I mean, there was literally a point, Jack didn't know at the time, he found out afterwards, that we were living on beans on toast, myself and his dad, because our grocery money was literally going towards his travel.
Right.
Because he had to get to world number one before there was actually any official funding.
So huge sacrifices you've made really for this, but though it's, you probably didn't see any other option. This is what you wanted to do because this is what he wanted to do.
Well, I'll be honest with you, it was back in 2012 and I only remember that date because I was watching Katie Taylor fight at the Olympics. We were in Athens in Greece at an Olympic training camp when Jack was only, what, like 13 or 14. But it was the first time he'd had access to proper Olympic coaches. And I remember distinctly saying to them, I want an honest answer. I'm not a mammy who wants to be told that our child is the best and he's not. Mm-hmm. This is very, very expensive. How much effort am I to put into this? Like, do I have to mortgage the house, etc.? And they basically looked at me in the eye and said, he has everything it takes to be an Olympian as long as he has the right support behind him. And that's funding, that's the right team, that's, you know, everything that goes with it. Because it's not just, you can be talented and you can be determined, but if you don't have the right support behind you, you're not going to make it.
So you need your family with you all the way.
Family and like friends for funding, the right coaches, the right, you know, psychologists, nutritionists, proper coaches. Like, and that's what Team Ireland have been providing in the last few years, and I can see a huge, huge difference.
I'm sure you can. You must be so proud of him and what he's achieved.
I don't think there's any room in my heart to be proud of, to be honest with you. No matter what happens in Paris, like, if he medals, yeah, we'd be over the moon and his life could change, but I actually don't think I could be any prouder, because I'm just as proud of Jack for being the person he is as his accomplishments, you know, because he's, like I said, he's travelled all over the world, he's on his own, he stayed with, as we call it, his other families in Spain and stuff. I've had to trust his care to other people, you know, because we couldn't afford to go with him.
Mm-hmm. So he has people he goes to stay with in Spain and in other countries as well, right?
He'll train, like, that's usually hotels, but obviously he said he's got a Spanish mammy and a Finnish granny who have been looking after him for a good while. Every time he trains in Madrid or Alcobendas, which is near Madrid, a lot with Hancock, who have been amazing. He's been associated with them since before 2016, when he was kind of like a training partner for Suvi Mikkonen, who's a Finnish Olympian. And they've got a great relationship. So he goes over and poor Nacho gives up his bedroom for Jack when he goes over. And she hasn't got a word of English and he hasn't got much Spanish. And they're sitting there watching Spanish soap operas together during his breaks, you know. And, but at least I know he's got that kind of family atmosphere.
Yes, and he's been well looked after.
Well looked
and you trust all of those setups that you've put in place. Jim is with us as well. Jim Kyo, father of Olympic rower Afric. Hello, Jim.
Morning, Claire. Yes.
Afric started rowing when? In secondary school, wasn't it?
Yeah, when she went to Kalash Dignoid in Galway, she went to primary school in Forbon, and then she went into Galway City, into Kalash Dignoid, and basically to just to meet friends. She joined the rowing, the basketball, the hockey, anything she could join, and took it from there, and it kind of emerged over the next couple of years that she, you know, she was enjoying it and she kept doing it, and so ultimately then they had an eight, which is a boat with eight people, and they won the Irish champs, and that's the first time we began to see this. She had some potential, you know.
So you went, at that point you went, oh, she's actually really good at this.
Well, she was enjoying it, and it got that result, and I think, you know, so then the question was this, but that she was only 18 then, she didn't really row internationally until 2014 when she rowed under 23 for Ireland in a four. So basically it was college rowing up to then. She had a successful college career rowing in terms of winning champs. But, you know, that was just, it was in 2014 when Martin Esperson, who was the head coach then, or the director of rugby, or director, sorry, of rowing, put a four together and they went to Austria and they came fourth and a bit unlucky on the day. And that's when I think she really got the bug, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, you've heard Norman there and Annette talking about how their lives in many ways were dominated at different points by the decision of their children to pursue these sports. Is it the same for you or slightly different because Afric started to pursue it when she was a teenager?
Well, very similar to Annette's story and Norman's story. I mean, Afric is probably what they call a senior elite athlete now, and that she's probably, you know, she's been at it for 8 years and that. But certainly the first years from 2014 to, I think it was 2017, when she wasn't funded, and so you have a funding issue, and you have to, if you're going to be full-time rowing for Ireland, you've got to move to Cork, because that's where the National Rowing Centre is, in Farn Woods, outside Cork, and it's outside Cork, so that means she had to get a car, she had to get a boat, so there's a big investment there, and she did that for 3-4 years, and then ultimately in, I think it was in 2017, I think, or 2018, maybe in Sarasota, she finished in the top eight or whatever, and they got funded, and the funding started then, but the funding was at a lower level. It was only a couple of years later that she got, you know, elite funding at the higher level. And when you get to that level, certainly all the funding issues are over, I think.
Which is a great relief, I'm sure.
Oh, yes. I mean, you know, there's 3 or 4 years there where really, there, and Ed was saying about beans and toast, I mean, the athletes are living on beans and toast as well. So it's tough, but if you love it, you do it. And if you see your children doing something that they love, you support them. So that's how it goes.
Mm-hmm. And obviously you're reaping the rewards now in terms of the pride that you're going to feel when you see Africa on this stage.
Well, as I said, she was in Tokyo. Unfortunately, we couldn't go to Tokyo because of COVID. So they were in Tokyo, and obviously they were the first women rowing team to win an Olympic medal. So that was very good for them. And you know, yeah, certainly Paris, she's going to Paris, hopefully in a pair. And but it's just a reward for their endeavour. I mean, mm-hmm. That's all you wish for. Like Annette, it's not pride as such. I mean, because you know, she's got two siblings, you're proud of them all. But it's just a reward for their endeavour.
Yes, of course. And Norman, for you, I mean, we saw how well you got on, you know, in Nicola got on in Rome at the European Championships. I mean, what do you hope is in the future for her?
I suppose you just hope that she can keep excelling in what she's doing. You know, when she's passionate about it, it's nice to see that she can keep clocking up the centimetres and getting better at it. Like,
mm-hmm.
At the moment, she's gone to Dublin. She's probably on the road at the moment on her way up to meet her coach. And Thursday, she's flying out to Europe and her mum is going out with her. So, you know, it's continuous.
Non-stop.
On the road, continuous. And yeah, I mean, she's one coach in Dublin, her training coach is in Dublin and her fitness coach is in Cork. So, she, you know, she's up and down the road between the two of them. So, it's non-stop. It's pure commitment. Like.
And does she still use the hammer cage that you built at home?
Oh, she does, yeah, like every weekend. She comes home from college and she uses it every weekend. Like for the summer now, she'll be using it. She uses it full-time. Mm-hmm. And like I say, she prefers to use it because she's got somebody there, Colette's there watching her and you know, coaching her along. Like whereas when she's above in Dublin on UCD, which is a great hammer cage, but built and all. But I mean, she throws out the hammers and she's on her own. She must go bring them back in. And if she's doing something wrong, sure, she's not going to feel it with the feet she's turning.
At home, she's got someone to collect the hammer for her at home. Is that what you're saying?
To take the hammer. Yeah. So it's worth a lot. Like, you know, it speeds up the process and it makes it a little bit easier.
And
it does, like, yeah.
Annette, can I ask you, are you looking forward to the Olympics? Honestly, how do you feel about it?
I'll be honest, I'm trying not to think about it. I'm trying to visualise it, but like, we don't know where we're sitting. You know, we're all broke up in different places. To be honest with you, my most worries about the Olympics on the day is just getting his dad into the stadium because he's had an accident. He's a bit mobility impaired at the moment, and we're trying to figure out how do we get him to the stadium and how do we get him into his seats. Mm-hmm. And that's what's going through my head as opposed to seeing Jack in the ring. You know, so.
But you're fine with sitting there and watching him, because some parents just can't do that, but you can.
Well, I haven't watched, I've only seen him fight live maybe 3 times in the past 10 years. I usually watch it live stream on YouTube because, like you said, the money, even though he's kind of funded now, he's gotten used to nobody being there. So Jack fights in most countries with no support, nobody screaming for him.
Well, it'll be different this time out.
It'll be different this time.
All right. Well, listen, I am so happy to meet you and to talk to the others too. And the best of luck to Afric and to Jack and, of course, Nicola with her future career as well. Lovely to meet you. Thank you so much for coming in. That's Annette Woolley, Norman Tuttle and Jim Keogh. And now we're going to take a quick break. Back after this.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.